Thank you. And Monday, of course, he knew about some things taking place, and he had just got home with his family, and he took his time out to come meet me and sit down and talk and be an encouragement. Brother, I appreciate that. That was very kind. Acts chapter 6 tonight. We've finished chapter 5, and now we're in Acts chapter 6. We're going to look at the first 7 verses here of Acts chapter 6. It says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles when they prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Remember, they're already huge. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. Lord, may this be a help to the church tonight. Lord, may we stay true to your word. Lord, help me to control what I say and how I say it. And Father, please help us see the truth that is in this passage. And again, may it draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would direct. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, we still do pray for their conversion. And that even this evening, they'd repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ. May you be glorified and honored in all that's said and done, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So far, as we're coming through the book of Acts, again, we finished the life of Christ, and then we're picking up as we went through Matthew. Now we're picking up and going on to the very first century here, the beginning of this very first church and the churches and how the history here that took place, the struggles and trials that they've had. We've already seen different struggles and trials that this first church has faced. They've been pretty immense already. They've had the religious leaders of the nation trying to stop them. They've beaten them, they've imprisoned them, they've threatened them. These are men with power. Yet as a result, they still increased. Not only did they have the threat of that taking place, the religious leaders and the persecution, but then they had sin in the church come up, and the Lord handled the discipline himself when he killed them. And you know what happened as a result? They still increased. But now we're coming to another way, another attack against the church. Satan's always trying to attack. He's always going to attack. Just like he's attacked them in all these different ways. But Satan gets in a new way to try and hinder the church. It's been growing. They're making a difference. You got to keep in mind, there's even, as we see in our text, there's even priests now that are converting to and putting their faith in Jesus Christ. So now Satan comes up with a new way to attack, and that is through division. This is dangerous. We saw in chapter 2 and chapter 4, really, and especially was it in chapter 4, the verse names it, the unity of this church that was in place. It was one of their strengths. They had the same mind, the same goal. But now that unity is tested. There's division that comes in. There's distractions that are coming in. And they have to deal with it. The fact is, if you want to find errors, you can find errors. If you want to find problems with something, you can. If you want to come in here and find problems, I got news for you. We're all full of sin. You can find the problems if that's what you're looking for. This is a church made up of sinners. You want to start nitpicking and tearing things down, seeing only the bad? That's what you're going to see. This is true of all areas of life. This is true where you work. You get in a mindset against where you work, all of a sudden you start seeing everything filtered through that bad mindset, and you just see what's wrong instead of what's right. This is true in your home. You can get in a mindset where all you see what is wrong instead of what's right. The devil loves to put you in that place where all you see what is wrong instead of all that is right. And the fact is, we as a church, if we're going to be effective, we need unity. We need the same goal, the same mind, seeking to glorify God. We all have a part in that, every single one of us. I have my part as pastor. As we're going to see here in this text, my primary responsibility is always going to be a prayer and the Word of God. It's something that I have stressed since I've been here. The 6 years that I have been here, I have stressed the necessity of the Word of God getting out and the purity of the gospel. Listen, if you're not getting fed, then try coming sitting at the table. Listen, I'm a picky eater. I can relate. I am. I'm a picky eater. And because of that, that hinders me. There's many times I just don't eat stuff. I go out to lunch every now and then with Richard. Usually when we go to lunch, he usually gets a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. And so about once a month, once every other month, take him out to lunch. And so finally, I decided to try one. I'm 51 years old. I've never had one. But I decided to sit down and eat it. Know what I found out? I like it. It was good. I was mad at myself for 51 years of never having one. Macaroni cheese has ruined me with trying new foods. Did you see there's macaroni and cheese ice cream? Did you see that? That's ridiculous. That's mad. Ugh. Listen, as we attempt to do things as a church and as we grow, problems are part of it. Just like this church had. They were growing, and as a result, problems occurred. What we do is we solve the problems and we continue. That's what we do. If things need to be changed, we change it. Right now, the direction the Lord has even taken us with the influence in ways that I never saw coming. Right now we're having an influence in the nation. I mean, think of that. All of a sudden we get an email about the radio broadcast in San Francisco. That one area will exceed more listeners than we have in Alabama, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, Bakersfield, California, and Alaska combined. Combined. And right now, by the way, where that's at, we have been talking in negotiations. The current station manager has some of our broadcasts, and he's listening. So we're waiting to hear back from him at this time. And then, so once I hear back from that, we'll know what's going on with it. So as we attempt to do things, and as we grow, problems will come. In our text, we see this problem that arises, and we see how it's handled. And I think we can learn from it. I put it in a couple of different C's here. We're going to see the clash, the dispute, in other words, the disagreement, the division that occurred. We have the clash that occurs, and we have the credentials or the qualifications for the men they're going to appoint to solve it. And then we're going to see their choice. And we'll go from there. But let me start off with the clash, the dispute, what was taking place here in the church at Jerusalem. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. The devil will always be looking for ways to attack the local church and hinder its mission or try and get it off course. Always. I mean, this is God's institution on earth and it will be attacked. We see that taking place with the church here at Jerusalem. The problem that's taking place here is between the Hellenistic Jews and, of course, the Palestinian Jews, those who were raised in Israel. It dealt with language. The Hellenistic Jews spoke Greek, whereas those growing up right there in Israel spoke Aramaic and of course, Hebrew. This was no small issue or problem that arose. It could cause major issues. The problem is even pulling the apostles' time from where it should be, which was the Word of God and prayer. I mean, think of all that's taking place. Think of as they're diving in of all they've learned from the instruction of the Lord, especially after the resurrection took place and before the ascension. all the questions coming at them, all the converts they have, the amount of time that they have to put into study. If you think that they just had divine revelation when they stood up, you're wrong. They had to dive into it. That's what's taking place. They're having to feed the people. They're meeting daily in the temple. Then they have a special meeting still taking place on Sundays. And they realize, this is huge. I mean, they have serious growth problems right now. So they have this cultural issue and a language issue that arises. It's always amazing how the Bible is so faithful from Genesis to Revelation to present both the bad and the good. It just doesn't give one point of view. Now keep this in mind with this issue that has arisen. Those Hellenistic Jews that were there, remember, they came in. You had the Feast of Pentecost coming in. They come in, and multitudes have been converted daily. We don't know the exact number because at this point in time, because there's so many, Luke has stopped counting. We're probably talking a minimum of 10,000. But we're probably over 20,000. We're just not certain. There's a lot of people here. And multitudes of those that had traveled in, thinking they're only going to be in Israel for maybe a month or so, now they're no longer going home. I love the reason why. You want to know why? This is the only church in existence. They've converted. They're not going back because there is no church there. This led to many problems. Matter of fact, these problems stayed. We're going to see the Apostle Paul gets converted. He's still going to be raising money from any of the poor in Jerusalem, which would be, for the most part, dominated by those Grecians, the Hellenistic Jews that had moved there. If you think Anchorage has real estate problems, at this time, Jerusalem was known to have the same issue. It was hard to find a place to live. Israel was known to care for their poor. We see it in the Word of God. We see it in other historical writings. This is what one historian had said about Israel's care of their poor. He said, in the Jewish synagogues, there was a routine custom. There were officials who were known as receivers of alms. They were collectors. And they went around the market and around the houses every Friday morning and made a collection of money and goods to redistribute to the poor when the synagogue met. Later in that day on Friday, when the people gathered, what had been collected was distributed to them. So when the synagogue met, had their meeting, they already had their offerings for the week taking place that was directed. This offering was specifically for the poor, and then it would be distributed. Those temporarily in need would receive enough to carry them through basically the day. Those permanently in need received enough for 14 meals, 1 week's worth. So they were known for this. Understand, this is the same process right now that we have the first church in Jerusalem following. They see the need that's there. We've already seen people selling property, selling houses, so they can help meet the needs of those who are present. They're following that same custom right here. And this is where the problem arises. Because what's taking place now is, as the distribution is happening, there's some murmurings coming up. Because they're seeing some disparity here taking place that isn't right. They're seeing sort of the hometown people being taken care of more than the outsiders, when none of them should be either. It should be one. And they realize that those of Palestine, those right there in Israel, that their widows seem to be getting a bigger portion than those that were the Grecians, the Hellenistic ones. Which again, this is also a cultural clash. The Hellenistic Jews, they embraced somewhat of the Greek culture, where the Hebrew Jews did not. They also had the language difference that they were dealing with. And a lot of that would come into play right now. So they had this taking place. It was leading to division. It was leading to murmuring. Listen, the devil always looks for ways to divide the local church. And he said, you know what? Let me try another avenue. Let me divide them. The problem was recognized immediately. The devil here trying to defy, to try and discourage the leadership. It's one thing he always does. I've preached on it before, his tactics within a church, how he will divide the church, and then he'll take the leadership and distract or discourage. It's a common tool. What we learn here, when there's growth, problems come with it. The answer isn't to stop growing. If your goal in life is to avoid any situation which causes problems, you will never accomplish anything for the Lord, or for that matter, anything in life. The answer is to seek God's wisdom and find a way through the problems and move forward. That's what the apostles do here. They use great wisdom. The fact is, with more people comes more problems. And this is what the church at Jerusalem is finding out. So they have divisions setting in. As a result of this division, the apostles are being distracted from what was most important, and they knew it. The Word of God and prayer. Now all of a sudden they find themselves not able to give attention because of the distractions that have arisen with the division that's there. They're like, we have a problem. We are unable to put our time where it needs to be right now. The fact is, I want you to think about this, Satan needed them out of the Word of God. There are people being converted every day. The Christians are growing like crazy. Priests are converting. He has to get them out of that office, basically. He wants them distracted. Boy, you can think today when you look around. I just wonder how many pastors have the bulk of their time not on the Word of God or on prayer, but on different aspects of the administration, firefighting in the church, the business side. Leading the church is part of it, but we also see exactly what the apostles did. They found wise men and let them do it. The apostles act quick in their response. We see it in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples. They had a church meeting. Said unto them, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. By the way, this is the common text where we tend to recognize the very first deacons. Although the word deacon is not here. The word deacon, when we get into it in 1 Timothy, it means the word servant. But the same root, I'm combining word and root there. All right, that's pretty good, by the way. It takes talent to be able to do that. Don't forget that. That's not a mess up. That's talent. The same root word that's taken from is the word for serve tables. That's why many commentators would conclude this is your first set of deacons, even though the word is not used. Which, that word, again, just means servant. So they act quick. Again, I love the wisdom that they use here. What they decided to do was, there's several things that are going to take place here. They included the congregation in the process. They said, listen, we're going to give you a list of qualifications, but we want you to appoint 7 men. Now, 7 will be especially with a Jewish background. They would use 7 in many different ways to solve a lot of different issues in Jewish culture. So he said, you find 7 men. Here's your qualifications. We're going to let them handle this. They will come up with a plan on how to make sure things are being done right, according to God's will, and without partiality. Which brings us now to the second point, the credentials or the qualifications that they put on these men. What do they need to look for? To solve this problem, he said this, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. They're going to come right out of the church. They're not going outside the church for these people. Do you understand that? It's coming right from them. Look out from among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. To say, you guys find them, we'll appoint them. The first credential here, given or qualification, was honest report. These are to be good men with a good reputation before the church. These are men that nobody in the church could honestly question. They knew that would be important. If the people are going to have faith in this decision, believing the Lord's in it. They're going to need men of honest report. By the way, notice they're not looking for men with business degrees, prior experience in this issue. They didn't list any of those things. All what they give here are all spiritual aspects. That's what they wanted in place. They wanted men of character, of integrity, good men with good reputation before all. Secondly, men full of the Holy Ghost. That's obvious. They know. He said, listen, don't look for men who are carnally minded. Don't look for people who are carnally minded and put them in this leadership position. We need this problem solved right. Look for those who are yielded, who are full of the Holy Ghost, where it's evident in their life. Fact is, we're learning character matters. Look for spiritual men not given to carnalness. Again, he knows if they're going to be successful in solving this problem, they're going to need spiritual men, men who are filled with the Spirit of God. Well, all of us certainly need to be faithful with our life and yielded to the Spirit of God so that He can use us, so we can walk with Him. And notice, you don't wait for an opportunity before you get right. You just stay right because you love God. And then as you're faithful and right with what God has given you, other doors open. Stay true with your walk with God. Stay true when you come in and get fed from the preaching of the Word of God. Don't play a game with it. Work on removing the things that would hinder you from being filled with the Spirit of God. The Lord will bring those to mind very quickly. The last qualification was men of wisdom. This isn't talking about wise, even in business and financial matters. We have a lot of churches to talk about. That's not what he's dealing with. He just simply wants men with the wisdom of God. That's what's going to be most important here. The apostles already know. They've been with Christ for 3 years. They saw how he ministered and how he worked. They knew who Christ chose. They knew who they were. And he said, look for those men who have the wisdom of God. They knew they would need that. They knew, of course, once the church found these men, the apostles would be able to concentrate on the Word of God in prayer. Now we have the choice, number three, and then we'll finish up with the consequences or results of this action. Their choice is incredible. It really is. I want you to think about this. It says, and the same pleased the whole multitude. Everybody's like, that's good. We like that. We like it a lot. So, the church went out. We don't know how, but they chose seven men. Stephen, which we'll learn more about him very quickly here in the book of Acts. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip, we'll learn more about him. And Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So here are the men listed. Right here. Now what is interesting is this. This is what I love about this. Notice who they selected. The problem was with who? The Grecians. Their widows were being neglected. Every single one of the men selected were Hellenistic. They were Grecians. All of them have Greek names. Not one of them was a Hebrew Jew. The principle here is, do you know what that would have did for the Grecians? What a great move they just did. They put men in place whose heart was in this issue. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. They put men in place that they knew their heart's in this. It's their widows. Every single one was a Grecian. Of these seven. What a great, just the gesture alone, like I said. This is a great way to lead. Matter of fact, those of you in different leading ministries here, for instance, when Greg comes to me with something with the building, I've told him this, I don't know how many times in the 6 years I've been here. I remember the first thing you came to me with was about putting walls up in the gym. We had the bus kid smack his head against our bar. Their blood was everywhere. Two brothers got in a fight and one drove his head into the beam. And so Greg said, listen, we need to put walls up like this. This is the type of wall we can get. And I said, we'll do it. And I even told him at that time, I said, Lord, I'll give you the wisdom for what we need. I don't have time to dwell on all those different things. I have to put men in place that's their heart. And know God will give them the wisdom for it, because you know where my mind needs to be? Right here. When something in the camp comes up, Michael will tell you, he's in charge of our camp ministry. Michael's, hey, I'd like to do it. I believe the Lord will give him the wisdom for what needs to be done. I don't have time to dwell on that. I don't. Men in place, that should be wisdom of honest report that God's working with. Great. That's the ministries. How can I support it? Let's do it. When Arlene wants Bob in the nursery, do it. I'm good with that. We don't know much about the men who were selected, most of them. Of course, Stephen we do, a man of great faith. He's going to become the very first martyr. We're going to dive into him very soon if you know the book of Acts. Philip, of course, becomes a missionary, the evangelist. Prochorus is said to have become John's secretary and became a pastor of a church in another town in Asia Minor. The rest we know nothing of. By the way, that's common in Scripture. We dealt with it. Remember when we went through this? One of my favorite things as we went through the book of Matthew was when we took many weeks to go through the 12 when they were selected. Remember I said, of the ones we really knew nothing of, that's so true. I mean, there's so much that we don't know. And I appreciate those who do things without having their name named. That they don't do it simply for the recognition before the church. They do it because it's right. So lastly, we come to the consequences or the results of what took place here. So what we see happen is they bring these seven men before the apostles. They said, yep. They were in agreement. They prayed. They laid the hands on them. That means we're with you. We're for you. Same thing. We'll do at times when it's an ordination or even at different events. Not necessarily even an ordination. Will we lay hands on somebody? That's saying, listen, we're with you. We support you. It's a symbolic gesture. It's not Benny Hinn empowering some type of wisdom unto them. It's a symbolic gesture of we're behind you. We're praying for you. We're in agreement. You have our authority. You have our blessing. And so they bring him for the apostles and for all the church. They're all there and they see it. Boom. Their first task. Handle this. Solve it. And as far as we know, that's exactly what they did. The issue isn't brought up again. The issue isn't brought up again. But look where the Bible goes with this. Verse number 7. And the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. They're growing again. Another growth spurt. And a great company, not just a few, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The first thing it mentions is the word of God increased. Guess where the apostles' attention was? Guess what increased? The apostles could imply themselves as they should. The church now was seeing their responsibility how, wait, this is all of us. This just isn't the apostles. This just isn't the pastor. It's this church. Once the apostles passed on, we're going to see still at this time, the apostles are still serving as a pastoral role. That's going to change. Especially by the time the dispersion and the heavy persecution takes place, we're going to see many of them spreading out everywhere with James, the half-brother of the Lord, pastoring the church at Jerusalem. The word of God increases. Listen, when this takes place, things happen. We need the word of God to increase. Not only did the word of God increase, but their numbers multiplied. Once again, with every phase of persecution, the Bible always mentions it. By the way, through this persecution or this trial, this trouble, they grew. They multiplied. It led to more people coming to know the Lord. And this, you can think how this benefited the church. Now there's no more people falling through the cracks. Do you know how easy that would have been with 10 to 20,000 in attendance for people to fall through the cracks? I believe that's really what was taking place. I mean, even to this day, there's two types of Jews living in Israel. I can't think of their name. Both of them are really long. I won't pronounce them right anyhow. They still have clashes today. The two different types that are there. They still clash even today. But I believe a lot of it was because of the rapid growth. We have the basis of unity already in place according to Scripture, and that was including all who converted. They were recognizing themselves as a new creature in Christ. As we're going to see as we go through the book of Acts, it's such a transition time and figure out how does the local church look? How do we operate in relation to what we knew before? And so I have no doubt problems arose and people would fall through the cracks. That's what they solved. So we don't want that. We don't want that here. We don't want anybody falling through the cracks. Listen, understand that all of us, as members of this church, including me as the pastor, and at this, we're at the same level. If you see somebody not here, call them. Text them. Say, man, I missed you today. And I think we do great with visitors. I do. We got, I meant to bring it and read it. We got just the sweetest email from one of the visitors on Sunday. Just saying how they were greeted and how much they love being here. When you see visitors, greet them. Say hello. Don't let people fall through the cracks. We're having well over 200 come every week now. Don't let people fall through the cracks. Be spiritually sensitive. Their numbers multiply. And again, one of the exciting things that the Bible points out here, by the way, some of the priests, no, not some, I said that wrong, a lot of them, hearing the preaching of the Word of God from the apostles, they're converting. Part of the leadership, I don't necessarily believe of the Sanhedrin, because I believe it would have specified that exactly. But it certainly could have been. It doesn't say it wasn't them. But remember all the different courses of priests that would come in and serve. I mean, the dominant number of that is that group there. They're hearing this. They're hearing these men that are in the Word of God, and they're presenting this resurrected Christ as the Messiah. And they're demonstrating exactly what happened is what God did say would happen. And they're converting. Remember what it said? Their doctrine has filled what? Jerusalem. It's filled Jerusalem. Do you know how much the religious leaders would have loved to have seen a split in that church between the Grecians and the Hebrews? Oh yeah, they would have loved it. Division. They knew all about divisions between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They knew how to use it and abuse it. You can just imagine the Pharisees too. I mean, the Sadducees are furious at the doctrine, the resurrection, and you know, taking that being. I mean, every time you see one of the apostles preaching in the book of Acts, they're preaching the resurrection. The Pharisees, though, I assure you, with the conversion of the priest, that was bothering them. So consider again the results of this action, of how the Lord used this, how this became an opportunity. We see the Word of God increasing. We see more converts. We see no more people falling through the cracks. The church is no longer divided, but pressing on with things concerning the kingdom of God. And they're going to need it because stronger persecution is coming. Some of them, including one of the men they just appointed, is getting ready to die. A horrible death. A horrible death. Listen, we have some amazing stuff here taking place in Acts chapter 6. When you're at a church and you have people, you have problems. You do. We stay right. We stay close to the Lord. We seek to solve them as the Lord gives us leadership. And we press on. Don't think for a second the devil doesn't want to disrupt God's Word from going forth, because he does. He certainly does. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, if you're here right now, maybe you have a bigger issue that's been bothering you than that of your salvation. Maybe this week that's been a struggle, or the last month, or the last year, you're not even certain if you're saved. You don't know what happened. If you're to die right now, I say, Pastor, please, I need you to pray for me. I don't know that I'm truly converted. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Please, I need you to pray for me. Would you just raise your hand? Just put your hand up for me and put it back down. Let me acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Anybody here like that at all? All right, Christian. We'll give you a time to come and pray. If the Lord worked on your heart, or maybe you have just a great need on your heart right now, you need to come before the Lord and call unto Him. Well, do it. Use this time to get a hold of the Lord. Father in heaven, bless this invitation, Lord. I love you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Turn to page 490. If you need to come and pray this evening, you come and pray.